just have to say amen to that. God's been good. Go ahead, Brother Danny. Amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Congratulations. God bless you, brother. Dan. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Brother Danny. Happy anniversary, Miss Heidi. Amen. I tell you, that's something that's getting more rare in America. Anniversaries. Thank God for people who stick it out, work through the troubles, pray through the trials, and stay together. Amen. Amen. Somebody said it's cheaper to keep her. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. We have been in our youth rally Friday night, Saturday morning, then again last night. Brother Tony Shirley was here from North Carolina. Thank you, Brother Todd. Brother Tony Shirley came and preached for us, did an awesome job. And boy, what some messages we've heard over the last couple of days. And we're just going to wind it up this morning. They asked last night, did I want them to take the decorations down? And I said, no, just go home and get some rest, and we'll do it after church tomorrow night. But if you allow us one more time on this theme of running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know that if you're saved, you're in the race? Whether you realize it or not, you're in the race. You may be in the garage, but you're in the race. A lot of times them cars come out of the race and they can't even get the help they need on pit road because it's deeper than that, and they have to go to the garage. But they get it fixed, and next Sunday they're back out there again. Amen. Listen, the Bible said a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Amen. There is nothing wrong in your life that God cannot fix. Let me just say that again. Sometimes we get the idea and we listen to the devil long enough that we believe that the problems we're facing are unfixable. You ever been there? You ever looked at a situation in your life and thought, there's just no hope for this? I remember it was just, a couple of years ago. How long has it been, Ashley? Three years ago. It seems like it was yesterday. And somebody said, well, y'all talk about that too much. No, we don't. We don't talk about it enough. That was a no-hope situation. Cancer from head to toe. Brand new mother. Doctor said, take the video camera. Make all the memories you can for that little boy. Now, bro, that's encouraging words, isn't it? No hope. I'm glad God's got a garage, ain't you? Yeah. Amen. I'm glad God's got a place where he can patch it up and fix it up. Amen. There she said, 3 years, cancer free. Glory to God. Amen. I said, yes, shout about it, Brother Tommy. That's all right. There is nothing in your life that is too big for God to handle. Amen. You know what? What if, I thought about, we'll get to the scripture in a minute, but sometimes those cars, Brother Terry, on the track are literally destroyed. That's right. Amen. Chris's car that he races every week, the one that's the good car, just have got it fixed, got it all, what do you call that, wrapped? Got all the, there's part of it over there. Brand new. But first time on the track, second time on the track, 100 and something miles an hour, in the wall. He can't even race that car no more. Do you know what the Lord said about that potter's house? He said that vessel got marred in the potter's hand. So you know what he did? He made it again, another vessel. God cannot just fix you and patch you up. He cannot just only rebuild you, but he can remake you. I just want to give you some encouragement this morning and let you know there is no such thing as a hopeless or helpless situation. But I do want you to realize, if you're saved, you are in the race. You're in the race. You say, well, God hadn't fixed my hopeless, helpless situation. Have you given it to Him? Have you given Him the opportunity to see what He could do? Do you remember, my mind's going a thousand directions. Do you remember in the Bible when that multitude was following the Lord and it was meal time? And the disciples said, Lord, there's much people. How are we going to feed this crowd? And the Lord said, look and see what we got. They said, there's a lad here with a small lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? This is all we got, and it's not going to get it done. You know what the Lord said? The next words out of His mouth, give it to me. Give it to me. In your hands, it's insufficient. In your hands, it's not enough. In your hands, it'll never work. In your hands, you can only feed maybe 2. And they won't be full. But let me have it. The problem is, you hadn't let Him have it. Hebrews chapter number 12. I got to read the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 12. This is right after Hebrews chapter number 11. That's a no-brainer. But Hebrews chapter number 11 is the great hall of the heroes of the faith. That's where He talks about all those great saints of God that have gone on before and done great and mighty things. He ends it like that in chapter number 11. But He starts in chapter number 12 and says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about grace for the race. Yeah. Grace for the race. I like racing. I do. I enjoy it. I don't like watching it on TV. It puts me to sleep. It's kind of like watching golf. If you can sit and watch a whole golfing match, you're easily entertained. Amen? That's solitary baseball. Hit it and go get it. Amen? But I like racing. They love racing. They worked on cars till, what'd you say, 4:30 this morning? 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. They love it. Now, that's the difference between some Christians. Some like it. Some are kind of, like Brother Tony talked about the fans the other night, some are casual fans. Some are serious fans, and then there's fanatics. When you enter the sport of racing, it almost, if you're going to be successful at it, by the way, if you're going to be successful at anything, it just about has to become your life. When I used to tournament fish years ago, and I'll never forget when I quit, and all my buddies said, I can't believe you're going to quit fishing. There was no way I could focus on both. There's no way I could do well as a tournament bass fisherman and pastor a church at the same time. There was no way. Somebody said, did you quit fishing? No, I just changed ponds, Brother Atkins. Amen. Amen. Anything you do that you're going to be successful at, you're going to have to give it 100% effort. Amen. Some of you not running well because you're not trying hard enough. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We need some folks to get serious about the race. And whether you realize it or not, you are in it. If you're saved. I want to end this thing up like Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. You say, where's the finish line? I don't know. I'm 46, it may be 47. I hope it's 80. Or I hope it's rapture next week. It doesn't matter to me. Amen. I don't know where the finish line is, but I want to finish. But to finish, I've got to run. The race, he said, that is set before me. Listen, we get this picture of this race in our mind. And I believe we get a little bit of a misconception. It's an individual race.
Right.
It's an individual race. I'm not running the same race you are. You're not running the same race I am. I have the race that is set before me. You have the race that is set before you. Your race may be, hey, your race may just be to be a godly mother. Your race may be just to be a great prayer warrior. Your race may be to be a missionary on the foreign field somewhere. Your race may be to pastor, be a pastor's wife. I don't know what it is, but you have your race. And I'll be honest with you, what I'd like to do is win it. I'd like to do better than just finish it. I'd like to win it. Come on, talk to me. I remember when I was a kid. When I was a kid, Mama used to say, son, winning ain't everything. Winning ain't everything. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. Yeah, it does. I thought that don't make sense. If I don't want to win, why play? Why suit up? Why spend all the money? Why seek the sponsorship? Why go to all the trouble if there's no desire to win? Listen, if you have no desire to win, you never will. Y'all all right? Listen, you don't always win. I know that. And you'd be a good sport about it when you don't. But there ought to be a desire in our heart to finish this race and to finish well. Amen? I want to win. I remember when I was little, Brother J.P. Denton, he coached me in baseball for years and years and years. And when we'd lose, I mean, bro, we was tough boys. I mean, before the game, we'd be fighting. But after the game, if we lost, we'd be sitting over crying like little girls. Yeah, we'd cry like babies, man. You know what? We wanted to win. We wanted that. We wanted to be on the All-Stars at the end of the year. We wanted to win the championship games. We wanted the big trophies, not them little bitty ones. Them little bitty trophies what losers get, amen? They got to give everybody a trophy so nobody's left out. Yeah, don't hand me that junk. Amen. I want the big one. Amen. How about you? I want the big one. When I stand before Christ, I want the big one. Amen. There's reward day coming. Amen. The crowns are going to be passed out. Listen, get a desire in your heart to win. You know who wins every sport? The one who wants it the most. The ones who came to race. I wonder if you came to race. Amen? Now listen, if we're going to do well in this race, it will not be of ourselves. You got to have some help. Somebody said, preacher, I'm afraid if I get saved, I just can't live it. Let me give you some horrible news. You're right. Paul said, I know that within me dwelleth no good thing. He wrote 13 books of the Bible, and he said, in me dwelleth no good thing. If there was no good thing in Paul, take a good look in the mirror. How many books you wrote? Come on, think about it seriously. We like to think we're good. We like to tell ourselves we're good, but we're not. The Bible said there is none good. No, not one. But I'm glad there's somebody inside here. Somebody inside here that's perfect, that's upright, that's just, that's holy, and that's who is giving me the gas for the race. That's my engine, if you will. We need grace for this race. Amen. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll look down our nose at people. Maybe some of the children that came in on the buses this morning, they don't live as comfortably as you live. Their houses aren't as nice as yours. Their vocabulary doesn't suit you. Y'all listening? The only thing between you and them is the grace of God. Stick that thing in his mouth. Amen. There you go. The only difference between you and them is the grace of God. Listen, you're sitting in a church this morning, and I don't want to run nobody off, but you're sitting in a church full of sinners this morning. I mean, there's some wicked people on your pew. I'm just telling you right about it. You got ex-cons sitting in here this morning. And the rest of them just got away with it. We got recovered meth addicts in here this morning. We got ex-dope dealers in here this morning. Y'all okay? Isn't it funny how you go to church and everybody wants you to think they just always been this way? Just always been like this. Always wore a suit and tie and carried a King James Bible and shouted hallelujah. Called everybody brother and sister. Always been like that. Yeah, right. You need to remember back where you come from. There was a day when you wasn't saved either. Amen. The only difference between you and the vilest offender this morning is the grace of God. Paul said, Lord, can you take this problem away from me? And God said, no, but I'll give you my grace. And my grace is sufficient. It'll get you to the place where you can say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I ran my race, Brother Terry. Why? The grace of God. You know what? I believe, and please don't be offended, but I believe academia has killed our churches in America. I believe it has. We've come too self-reliant, too self-dependent. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We've got Rick Warren. We don't need God to tell us how to operate our churches. We've got all these doctors. I'm glad I'm still a janitor, Brother Atkins. You know what a janitor does, don't you? He cleans up after the doctors. Amen. Y'all okay? Don't die on me now. We've got it all figured out. We know how to have church. We know how to make out an outline. We know how to preach the Bible. We don't need God. Hey, we need God's grace every day, every hour, every minute, every second. Hey, whether you realize it or not, you're living by grace. You just think it's you. When Levi was little, that was a long time ago. Makes three of me now. But when he was little, he wanted to drive all the time. They'll lock you up for that stuff now. I mean, now you got to strap them down in a three-point harness and bolt them to the floorboard. That's the craziest stuff I've heard. I used to lay in that, what do you call that thing where the speakers go in the back window of the car? I used to lay up there, man, make faces, mash my face against the window to people behind me. They put you in jail for that now. Levi always, Daddy, let me drive, especially if it was in my truck. He loved driving my truck. I never told him no difference. He'd put his little old hands on the wheel. I'd take mine off, but I'd have my knee up under there. I'd say, boy, you doing good. He said, I'm doing good, ain't it, Daddy? You doing good. I just let him think it was him. Hey, man, maybe God's just letting you think every now and then that it's you, but it ain't you. It ain't you that's been successful. It ain't you that's running well. I'm telling you, it's by the grace of God. It said it's by the grace of God. I said it's by the grace of God, else you'd be in hell or on your way. One old preacher said, in hell, in jail, or out on bail. The only reason I'm not there is the grace of God. Terry Fennell, you and I ought to die at a time or two. Should have died. We're driving down the road one night. He fell out of the car. I mean, we're running down the highway. We're sitting three across in the car. We're driving down the road flying. Roger Bush poked me in the side, and I said, what? He said, Terry fell out. Should have died. I'm telling you. I have experienced God's grace. Hadn't you? I remember bullets whizzing over my head, sneaking in Wheeler Gore's catfish pond. That old man wouldn't run you off. He'd shoot at you. I'm telling you, it's been grace. We need grace for the race. Hey, we in church right now. We're all on the same team. We're for one another. We got all the support we could ever want for it. But you got to go to work tomorrow. You got to go back out. We're at pit row right now. We're with the team right now. But we got to get back out on the track tomorrow and run the race. And what you're going to have to do is get out on your knees in the morning and say, God, give me grace for my race today. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We need grace for the race. Let's look at these scriptures just for a minute, and I'll get you out of here. I'm as tired as you are. Trust me. Let's look at chapter 1 of verse 12. I'm telling you, I am wore out. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me first say, there's the grace of the encouragement for the race. There's the grace of the encouragement for the race. You know what he's saying? He's saying, wherefore? That means because of chapter number 11. Look behind you. Look behind you. They did it. You can do it. Amen. Look behind. Every now, we're so busy looking forward and going forward and trying to get ahead. We need to look back at those who blazed the trail for us. We need to remember the J. Bice's brother that knocked on our door, brought us to church on a bus, told us about the love of God and the grace of God. We need to remember. Hey, we need to go back further than that and remember those that died for this Bible. Burned at the stake. Are you listening to me? That's encouraging to me. You say, how is that encouraging? That somebody got burnt because they believe that book's the Word of God. It's encouraging to me because they did it and I ain't had to face that. Ain't nobody threatened to shoot me or kill me. Well, I have had somebody threaten to shoot me, but I ain't had the law come in here after me. Not yet anyway. Man, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. My mother-in-law gave me a book about Oswald Chambers. And you start reading about some of these old missionaries. Man, it'll bless your heart. I remember reading about I forgot his name, had all the children, the orphanage. George Mueller. George Mueller was a missionary. He had orphanages. He had a big orphan's home. George Mueller would go in his closet every morning and pray. One morning, the lady who's helping him come to him and said, Brother George, said, we don't have anything to feed the children for breakfast. He said, set the table. I'm going to my prayer. She said, but there's nothing to put on the plates. He said, set the table. I'm going to my prayer. She put empty plates and empty glasses on the kitchen table, called all the kids down to sit around the table while Brother Mueller went into his closet and began to call on God. While he's in there praying, a knock came at the door. It was the milkman. And he said, ma'am, I had a lot of milk left over today and it'll spoil. He said, could you use it? She said, yes, I could use it. A few minutes later, the grocer came by and had meat and eggs to feed the kids. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that encourages me to run another lap. Amen. There is the grace of the encouragement for the race. Look behind you. We've forgotten what it costs to get us here.
Amen, brother.
I said it the other night, and I'll say it again. I don't mean it disrespectfully, but I thank God for these older men of God. Those who have run the race. And they ain't changed a bit. I run into Brother Charles Williams just a few weeks ago to dry cleaner. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care how many people's around. That old man's getting a hug from me. I put my arms around him in that dry cleaner. I said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for not changing. I want to thank you for staying by the stuff. I want to thank you for blazing a trail for me. Thank you for giving me an example to follow. Hey, we ought to be encouraged by those who have run before us. You know what makes young men want to race? Older men who are doing it. Everybody gets in the race because they're inspired by somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. I remember as a young Christian sitting on that front row watching my preacher preach, thinking, oh boy, that'd be awesome to do that someday. And now I get to do it. Some weeks every day of the week. Some weeks a couple of times a day every day of the week.
Amen.
I get to do it. Why? Man, somebody encouraged me to do it. There's the grace of the encouragement of the race. Those who are behind. But then there are those who are here. Those who are here. Those who are behind, I believe they're cheering us on.
Amen.
I've said it already, but every time those cars come by that finish line, every lap of that race, then people stand and scream and cheer. Thank God for the people who cheer us on.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Sometimes my preaching's not popular. I don't preach to please people. I'm sorry, I want to be an encourager. I do. I want to be a blessing. But sometimes I got to stomp sin and I got to kick it.
Yeah.
I got to get in your business. I got to get in your face.
Amen.
Or I'm not a preacher.
Right.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
You know what I appreciate? There's those messages. I beg God. God, don't make me do this. God, please don't make me do this. And God says, if you don't please me, you're going to do this. And I'll walk out of this pulpit as defeated. It'll get quiet in here. It'll get like a Methodist church in here. Yeah. I mean, boy, not even none of them. People are going, whoa. And it never fails, Brother Freddie. I'll be standing at that door, shaking hands with people as they leave. Somebody will say, thank you, preacher. That was for me. Thank God for a cheering section. Thank God. I was watching the Falcons play last year, and it was a real big game, and I forgot who it was, one of them players. I mean, he just come out of the huddle, and he looked up at the stands, and he was going like this. You know what he was saying? Cheer us on. Help us, man. Root for your team. Hey, you need to root for your team, because there's some people out there driving their guts out this morning, trying to serve God and do something for. Encourage them. Amen. You may not be in the bus ministry, but you can encourage a bus worker. You may not be able to teach a class, but you can encourage your teacher. We okay? Amen. Encourage those who pray for you. You know, that's something. Everybody can't preach. If we was all preaching, there'd be nobody to preach to, right? We can't all teach. There are different jobs in the race. There's one man, all his job, all he does, and gets paid a killing to do it, is operate that jack. Ain't that all he does, Terry? He's a jack man. What do you do for a living? Jack. What do you mean? What do you do? I jack up cars. That's what I do. Amen. That's all he does. But that job's important. Amen. That job is important. There's a guy, all he does is put gas in the car. There's another guy, all he does is tear that thing off the windshield. That's all he does. Well, that's not an important job. It is to that driver. Everything that goes on pit road, though it may be little, it matters. And it's a help to that one that's in the race. Amen. Did you know if you're on pit road helping somebody who's driving, you're in the race as much as he is? Because without you, he can't run the race. Can I just tell you this morning, without you, I can't run the race. Without you, I can't stay at it. I can't stay faithful. Hey, I run all over this country. I'm on airplanes all the time and preaching all over the place. Hey, if you didn't pray for me, I could not make it. You are my pit crew. Amen. Job may be little, but we need you this morning. There is the grace or the encouragement, the grace of encouragement for the race. Amen. When have you stopped to encourage somebody? Just to be a blessing? Slow down. Forget your busy. Oh, I'm so busy. I know. But a 2-minute phone call? I tell you what I've been getting here lately. It's text. You don't even got to speak. People sending me a text. I got 5 this morning. Brother Scott Matthews of the Rochesters were here last Sunday morning. Brother Scott sent me a text. You know what he said? I'm praying for you this morning. Man, they're the busiest people I know. They're in church somewhere every day of their life, traveling with 3 families on a bus. Can you imagine that? And he took the time this morning to say, Brother Eddie, I'm praying for you. Preach the paint off the wall. Standing in my bathroom looking at that text, and I thought, well, bless God, I will. Amen. If somebody cares that much about me to take a little time out of their schedule and get on their knees and say, God, touch Brother Eddie this morning, use him, I believe I'll just go ahead and do it. Amen. Amen. If you heard your children in their bed at night praying for mama, praying for daddy, well, wouldn't that make you want to try a little bit harder? Yeah. Amen. Be an encouragement to somebody. Now listen, this next one won't be all that popular, but I want you to notice the enemies of the grace for the race. Did you know everybody that's running in this race ain't real? We showed you that in the skit, in the youth rally. Everybody running in this race ain't real. I hate it, but everybody don't want you to win. Some of the meanest people I've ever met are Christians. Let me say it again. Some of the meanest people I've ever met are Christians. How many of you have ever heard of a church split? Watch this. How many of you ever heard of a bar split? That's sad, isn't it? When the world can get along better than we can.
Amen.
There's enemies for this race. Listen, man, there's people that'll put you in the wall just because you're doing better than them. There's people who'll look down their nose at you and shun you just because God's blessing you. Y'all okay? I knew we wouldn't shout on this one. But you need to realize, listen, I would love to do that. What do you call it where you go and drive the car? Experience? Yeah, driving experience. I'd love to go do that. I would, but getting a race, ain't no way. I'd love to get Chris's car and go around that track one time by myself without nobody else out there for me to run into and then get beat up because I hit him. Because I promise you I'd hit him. Amen. Are you listening to me? Everybody wants to run in a race until there's traffic out there. Boy, when them cars pile up, we went and watched them race the other night. I mean, man, it's just, they just all over each other. Look at all them tire marks on that door panel right there. People will put you in the wall. They'll run over you. Why? They might be your buddy in the pits. But on that track, they out for blood. Well, I'm not going to race no more. Look what he did to my number 87. He put tire marks on my door. I'm never racing again, baby. Listen to me. Some of y'all, spiritually speaking, you need to man up a little bit. You need to realize, according to Ephesians chapter number 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Hey, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Man, we're fighting a real devil today. We've got an enemy that does not want us to win. You know what he'll do? He'll slip in there and tell you what you got ain't good enough. You know what he'll do? They'll slip in there and say, hey, preacher, you can't win this race with that hymn book. Well, watch it dry up on me. You can't win this race with Fanny Crosby. She did. Y'all okay? You can't win this race with that King James Bible. Tell Moody that when you get to heaven. Tell Spurgeon that when you get to heaven. Tell all them great men of old. Amen. The enemy slipped in. While we wasn't looking, he come in our shop. He took our big bad V8 out and put us in a... We're racing in Priuses now. It may look good. No, a Prius don't even look good. Old Michael, he's in teen church. Michael just got him a car, Michael Mooney. He thinks he's bad. He showed me the picture of his car, and it's a Mustang. God help him. Anyway, it's a Mustang. It's got cool-looking rims on it. Got a big old hood scoop. I mean, thing looks bad. I said, Michael, that is awesome. I said, you're going to get killed in that thing, son. He said, no, I'm going to be careful. And he wouldn't tell me what it had in it. I says, it sound good? He said, it sounds all right. I said, what's it got in it? And he dropped his head. I said, it's a V6? I said, the V6 is all right. He said, no. I said, it's not a V6? What is it? He said, it's a 4-cylinder. That's the way our churches look. Y'all listen to me now. I know some of this is lapping over from last night, but it's still on my head, in my mind. Listen, it looks good. It's got a hood scoop. Yeah. Amen. That's our hood scoop right there, that piano with a hood up. Amen. It's got a hood scoop. It's got the rims. It's got everything that says bad. It's got everything that says it will win the race till you crank it. Ming, ming, ming. At the race where Brother Chris races, they got several classes. And they start that race with these little Pintos and them little Mustangs. They sound like bumblebees. Whee! Sound like a weed eater. They really do. I thought, man, they're racing weed eater motors out there. And they race them first. I wonder why they put them out there first. Because if they don't, if they put them out there first, everybody go home. They didn't even come to see. They wish they had just get out of the way. Am I right about it? Just get that out of the way and let the big dogs eat. Amen? We need to be careful about this enemy. You say, that's not popular. I didn't come to be popular. I come to please God. Amen. We okay? There's an enemy out there. Some of them, I'm afraid, are Christians. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Christians. I know Christians who Facebook me. Y'all right? I've had women sitting here while I preach and just arms crossed like this, roll their eyes. I'll pick them up and roll them right back to you. It doesn't matter to me. Y'all okay? I'm going to preach the Bible. God called me to preach the truth. Amen? And I'm here to tell you, just as sure as there's a heaven and sure as there's a hell, there's a devil and he wants you out of the race. Y'all okay? Amen. I know some bitter, hateful Christians, don't you? I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, and there just ain't one. But sometimes people like Brother Joe and Miss Susie, they leave our church. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, really, it tears you up. And it's hard to get over losing somebody like that. Sometimes somebody leaves the church and you're like, I had a fella tell me when we was in our old building. Here's what he said. Honest, before the Lord, stood right outside the church after Sunday morning service. This is what he said. He joined that morning, that day. He had just joined the church. We're standing outside, and he said, I just hope you know I like to rock the boat. I said, get out of my boat. We're not here to make trouble. We're here to make peace. We're here to encourage and to equip the saints of God. But you just know there's enemies out there. And don't quit because you've got one. Nobody in a race wants anybody else to win. Now, in our race, it shouldn't be that way. We can all win our race. Are you listening? But we sure shouldn't want somebody else to lose. I heard a preacher, used to be a preacher friend of mine, I guess maybe he's not anymore, when we bought this building. Here's what he said. Not to my face. Here's what they said. I hope they fall on their face. Come on. You know what I hope? I hope Fullerville does great and mighty things for God. Steve Swofford's my friend. We're both in the race, but he can win his, and I want him to. And we can win ours, and I want us to. But you need to realize just because there's an enemy, that shouldn't stop you from racing. Do you understand that? I know more people are out of the race this morning because of something somebody said. Come on. Well, I like that church, but somebody talked about me behind my back. They're going to it the next one too. Somebody left me a message, Brother Eddie called me. I'm really upset. Somebody's talking about me, and I'm like, oh, I hope it wasn't me. Is it okay to be human?
Yeah.
I catch myself, don't you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Hey, man, y'all all right? Amen. Don't quit because there's enemies in the race.
Yeah.
Let me hurry. Let's look down to the verse a little bit more. Y'all didn't like it too good, did you? Hey. I'm going to tell you who the worst enemy in my race is. Me. I have to get over there in Galatians chapter number 5 every now and then and see where I line up. And them fruits of the Spirit, they're totally opposite one from the other. Amen. I have to go over there in Ephesians chapter 4 and put all that stuff away because I'll put me out of the race. Amen. You ever seen people commit suicide by running to a telephone pole? I've heard of race car drivers blowing up their motor because they're scared. Sometimes we're our worst enemy.
Amen.
If I can conquer this, all that other ain't no problem. Amen. Listen, look back at verse number 1. He said the encouragement. We talked about the encouragement, the great cloud of witnesses. But then there's the enemies. I didn't even read it a while ago, but he talks about the weight and the sin that so easily beset us. You know what they want to do in NASCAR? Get that car as light as possible.
Amen.
As light. It's got a legal limit, I guess. But they take away weight or they add weight, whatever's needed. But they want that thing, if it's, I don't know what they weigh, if it's 3,500 pounds, I knew you'd say it, just like 3,500 pounds. If it's 3,501, something's coming off. Are you listening? They want it as light as possible. Why? So they can run. So they can run. Hey, listen, if you jog, you ain't wearing work boots. And a motorcycle helmet. You're going to get some Nikes, amen? Y'all all right? You're going to unload some stuff. Some of us aren't running well because we're carrying too much weight. He said the weight and sin. It's both. Could just be bitterness got you down. Could be sin that's got you not running good. We need to get on the altar this morning, shed some weight, amen? The enemies to the grace of the race. Now listen, he said then, let us run with patience the grace that is set before us. There's endurance. There's grace for endurance for the race. How do you keep on keeping on? It's the grace of God. How do you keep? Well, sometimes it gets tough. I imagine by the time they get to that white flag, by the time they get to that last lap of that race, those boys are give out. You know the first thing they do when they come crawling out of that car? They see somebody standing there with something to drink in their hand. I've been watching some of them, it's them energy drinks. Because they are absolutely wore out. They got to put something back because they give and they give and they give. Hey, listen, God will give you what you need to endure. Hey, man, sometimes I like to enjoy the race. Y'all all right? I like to just get out there and put the pedal to the metal and just enjoy it. Sometimes I have to endure it. Can I just be honest? Sometimes serving God ain't fun. There's parts of my job I hate. I hate counseling couples that are about to split up. I hate that. I don't like to do it. Wish I didn't have to. I hate to see the devil win. I hate funeral homes. I hate Scottish Rite Hospital. Thank God for it, but I hate it. I hate to have to go there because it happens every time. I don't just see the one I went to see. I got to see it all. Them little old baby girls with the hair burned off their head and their eyebrows gone. Boy, I don't like that part of the job, Brother Atkins. And I just have to endure it. There's some things in this Christian life. If you're going to run this race, you're just going to have to endure it. You're just going to have to toughen up a little bit. Hey, the good will come again. Sometimes we serve God out of duty. But if you'll keep serving out of duty, you'll get back to delight again. Amen. Remember when you first got saved and started going to church? You couldn't wait to get there. Now you got to kick yourself in the rear end. We got to go to church. That's endurement. But if you'll just keep on, you'll get back to enjoyment again. Amen. Don't quit in the race. Then there's the grace, not only of the encouragement and the enemies and the endurance, but the eyes. Look at verse number 2. What's that first word? Looking unto Jesus. What'll keep you in the race? Keep watching Him. I noticed something, and I may preach on it for too long. I was in a service in Smyrna, Delaware. I don't really care what time it is. I just did that for your benefit. I was in a service in Smyrna, Delaware, back a few weeks ago, months ago. I don't know when it was. But I had the songbook in my hand, Brother Todd, and we were singing, "This Is My Story, This Is My Song." That's a Fanny Crosby song. And I got to that second verse, and I'm trying to remember what she said. Watching and waiting, looking above. Then she got down there and said, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Can I tell you something about Fanny Crosby? She's watching. She's waiting. She's looking. She's blind as a bat. Jesse Craigle is playing the piano. Some of y'all know Brother Jesse. Jesse's blind from birth. I took that songbook over to Brother Jesse. I said, Brother Jesse, I ain't never thought about this before. Let me read something to you. See what you think. And I read him those verses. He said, there's more than one kind of vision. He said, she may have been physically blind, but she wasn't spiritually blind. She could see 20/20, son. He said, there's no way she could write all those hymns. He said, you go home, you get your songbook out, and you find every song Fanny Crosby wrote. He said, nearly every one of them she's looking and watching.
Amen.
Amen. Bless God. You may be able to blind me to some things, but you can't blind me to Him. You can't blind me to Him looking unto Jesus. Some of your problem is you've took your eyes off the Lord. Amen. You took your eyes off the Lord. Peter did, and he sank. Some of you going down for the last time. Need to get your eyes back on Him. Keep your eye on the prize.
Amen.
Quit worrying about everybody else. Quit worrying about who's bumping you and rubbing you, offending you, hurting your feelings. Race. Race. Hey, just keep this in mind. I'm not racing for the one bumping me in the rear end. I'm not racing for that nut that wants to put me in the wall. I'm racing for this right here.
Amen.
And it's coming. Amen?
Amen?
I think it's coming soon. The eyes for the race. Then the enlightenment for the race, and I'm done. Look at verse number 3. He said, for consider him. There's something to consider. For consider him. Watch what he said. That endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What keeps me in the race? Calvary.
Amen.
When I consider Him and what He did for me. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Preacher, we're not mad. We're just what? Hurt. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that in my ministry, we'd pay this building off tomorrow. We're not mad. We're just hurt. I wonder if Jesus was hurt. You know what Jesus said when they heard Him? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Suffering. Consider Him this morning. Preacher, I just don't know if I can make it through this. Consider what He made it through. If He endured Calvary for me, I can endure this race for Him. I can go one more lap. If He could say, Father, forgive, I can run again tomorrow. And I can run again Wednesday, Thursday, every single day of my life. Let's bow our heads this morning. I wonder this morning if there's somebody here. Wasn't really a salvation message, but I sure want to give you the opportunity to make sure. Are you in the race? If you died just like you are, would heaven be your home? Don't just immediately go, yeah, I'm saved. No, consider it just for a minute. The Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Spend just a minute and think. Brother Tony preached on, I think it was Friday night, and he said, you better have a moment. In your mind right now, I want you to go to the spot where you got saved. You may not remember the day or the date, but you'll remember that place. I can close my eyes and think about it just for a second, and I can smell the pine straw on the ground under the pine tree in Jay Bice's front yard where I got saved. It's that real. It's that real. Do you have that moment? Think about it right now. Go there in your mind.
If you're having a hard time getting there, it's probably never really happened. Well, I remember a time when I think I got saved. You need to get that settled today. I wonder if there's one here today. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I don't drag people to the altar. I believe if I got to drag you, you don't want it. But if you're here this morning, you're not sure if you died today, heaven would be your home. Just slip up your hand. Ain't nobody looking around. I just want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. How about it this morning, anybody? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Preacher, pray for me. God bless you, son. Anybody else? Preacher, I know I'm saved. Not a doubt in my mind. You couldn't talk me out of it. I know for a fact that I'm going to heaven when I die. Slip up your hand. Got it nailed down. Pat. Thank God. It's nearly every hand in this room. And I praise the Lord for it. Now, if you just raised your hand, I want you to realize you're in this race. Now, let me ask you a question. How are you doing? How are you doing? I told you about the spotter last night who talks to that driver in his ear. You know what that driver will say every now and then in the race? He'll talk to his spotter. He'll say, how am I doing? How am I doing? Maybe you fooled yourself into thinking you're doing all right. Maybe you'll just ask your spotter this morning, Lord, how am I doing? Maybe there's somebody here this morning say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not running well in my race. Pray I'd get to pit row and get whatever it is in my heart and my life fixed that I can do better. Slip up your hand. We just gonna pray this morning. Thank you for being honest. Fathers, we come before you again this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for a good day. Thank you, God, for our time together. Lord, you've seen the hands and you know the hearts. Father, I just pray you'd deal with us accordingly. Have your way in this altar call. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.